Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever met a recording artist? Tell me, do you know what it takes to produce a record, to write a record, or to perform live? Have you ever wanted to know what inspires someone to make music? Would you like to learn why making music is so very, very exciting? Can you imagine the discouragement that comes with the recording industry? Now, let me ask you, have you ever heard about three songs called Nothing to Hide, I Love to Love You, and Back and Forth? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to enjoy music more in the pop genre? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a very successful artist. He will provide us with wonderful information and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media, syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine and don't do any whining. Then have some cheese and crackers and lots of chocolate. Let me tell you now about our guest today. He is finally releasing his long-awaited and eagerly anticipated first solo music album in November 2014. His music has received rave reviews so far, and he relishes this chance to pursue his lifelong dream. His unique sound has been described by industry insiders as an emotionally powerful vocal style, masterfully united with music that is a fusion of classic 80s rock blended with modern soft rock and pop music. He currently has over 1.4 million Twitter and Facebook followers and is rated number 4 on Reverbnation in the pop genre. He performed at the Toronto Music Festival in May with his band and sold out to live audience, with recorded hits and new tunes waiting to be released every single month until the day he dies. His music screams success. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Sorantos. Hi, Sorantos.
Hi, January. How are you?
I am so fine, and I have been listening to your music all day. I love it, and I can see why you are so successful. Would you share with us the story behind your name, Sorantos?
Absolutely. Well, first, I just want to say thank you for having me on the show, and I want to thank all your listeners for tuning in. You know, the name Sorantos, when I thought a little bit about what I wanted to name myself, obviously I thought about using my real name, I thought about different stage names, and I decided to use Sorantos because I am of Hellenic American descent, and Sorantos is Greek for my real name, which is Sam. So I thought it'd be kind of an interesting, you know, stage name that most people will not have heard of, and it's when I searched on Google and iTunes and all over the place, really there was no traction with it. And I don't think that's because people would hate the name. I just think because no one ever really, you know, did anything with that name. So that's why I chose it.
Okay. Well, you're the first person I've had on the show who is Greek and very proud of your Greek heritage. Tell us a little bit about your success story, how it began, where you were raised, and who your early mentors were.
Sure. You know, basically, I'm from the Chicago area, and I've been here my entire life, so I'm a Midwest kid. And I, you know, for lack of a better term, I do have a day job, and the music thing is something I've always wanted to do, and my heart was always, you know, it was always on my mind. And my father passed away about 3 years ago from lung cancer, and at that time, you know, it was a very emotional time for me, and obviously I got through it, and, you know, there's not a day goes by that I don't think about my father, but after that, I really realized that life is short and I really have to pursue my dream. And that was kind of the first thing that kind of kicked my butt into gear to just really give it a shot. And obviously it took about a year or so to get everything together, get the music together. And that was kind of the first move. And I definitely wish I would have done it a lot sooner.
Oh, sure. Now, did you, as a child, were you musical? Did you play instruments? How did you acquire this talent for music?
The short answer is that my parents did not play any musical instruments, and my first love was always lyrics. So I was probably about, I don't know, first, second grade. I loved words. I loved putting them together. And probably by fourth grade is the earliest I can remember that I wrote a song. And obviously, it wasn't as good as the ones I'm writing now, but I just kept pursuing it. I kept writing, and my parents always encouraged music, so we listened to all sorts of American music, some Greek music, and it was always on our minds, and, you know, we were encouraged that it was okay to sing, it was okay to dance, and even though they didn't play any instruments, it was always accepted, and it always made me feel good. You know, to me, I think music is life, and I always got the sense when I was down, music could cheer me up. Music could help me empathize and put myself in other situations and, you know, kind of see things from different points of view. So I think all that was very important growing up, and it made me who I am today.
Could you share with my listeners what it was like people watching in your family's restaurant?
So I grew up in a typical Greek-American restaurant. It was a family restaurant, and I did pretty much everything in there. I washed dishes, I cooked, I was a waiter, I was a cashier, and it was very interesting because I would talk to everybody, and I was a pretty social kid, but it was just interesting, all sorts of walks of life, from people that talked a lot to people that were quiet to people that were, it really gave me a nice exposure into the modern world because, you know, when you go to grammar school and then high school, you're just exposed to that environment. But in my dad's restaurant, I got to meet people from all sorts of walks of life, you know, people that worked in the finance industry or banking industry, people that worked in just, it was a great exposure. And I'm very happy I had it.
Oh, it sounds like a marvelous childhood. You know, it brings me back to that wonderful movie, My Greek Wedding.
Yeah. We don't use Windex, but otherwise, yeah, that was a great movie.
And do you live next door to your parents?
No, I do not. I do not.
Well, you know,
I think that...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, I think that movie, the reason it did so well was it just the whole immigrant story. You know, you could take any nationality almost, and it, you know, they could relate to that movie. So I thought that was a great movie because it could... It resonated with a lot of different cultures.
Oh, absolutely. It was fabulous. And, you know, we're going to share something very fabulous with our listeners right now. We're going to hear one of your songs that you wrote and composed, Nothing to Hide. Sit back and relax. Nothing to hide.
Desire more control over your money and financial matters? Would you like simple solutions to complex financial topics? Do you want more security in your financial future? If you answered yes to any of these questions, the book 101 Principles to Wealth is your answer. It's available now on Amazon.com. That's 101 Principles to Wealth by Charles Brokop. Order today.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredimski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Sarantos. And Sarantos, that song is fabulous. I loved it, and I know my listeners enjoyed it too. Now tell us a little bit about your career as a singer. Is this a career for you, or is it just a hobby that you do in your spare time?
No, it's definitely a career. And like I mentioned earlier, I do have a day job, and if my music career continues to grow, I would have absolutely no problem committing to it full time and touring around the world. So I don't want anyone to worry about that.
I'm sure anyone out there who has the kind of talent that you have would certainly agree with you that this definitely should be your career. It sounds like a wonderful career. Now, what are you trying to do with your music? Are you trying to get rich? What is your goal? Are you helping your community? How is this working out for you?
You know, the short answer, and it's pretty simple, but I guess I have two goals. My first goal is to get my music out there into the world internationally and just let everyone listen to it and hopefully appreciate it. And my second goal is to try to raise as much money for charity as I can. So we talked a little earlier about my father who passed away a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And what I decided to do, you know, I do want to release a song every day until the day I die. And I'm just picking a different charity each month and donating a third of the profits to each charity. So the song that you just heard, Nothing to Hide, the double meaning to the song, you know, there's several innuendos in it. But for me personally, I chose the American Lung Association as a charity because I suffered from asthma. And up until a year ago, you know, I had to take some steroid inhalers, albuterol, just... And, you know, asthma is sometimes an embarrassing thing. And I felt like, you know, asthma is not something you should have to hide. And your inhaler is not something you should be embarrassed to take in public if you needed to breathe. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason I chose that charity for that song. And each song has, you know, like I said, a double meaning and a reason I chose that charity. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
Oh, yeah. And obviously, you've discovered your passion. And we talk about that a lot on this show because this show is all about success stories. And when a person discovers their passion, as you said, you love what you do and it doesn't seem like it's work at all and money isn't an issue. You're so happy doing what you do. And you want people who listen to your music to sing, dance, move to the groove, and play the song over and over again. Could you share with us some of the other charities that you sponsor?
Absolutely. So the first song, Not Where I Want to Be, the charity for that one is American Cancer Society because, again, I don't think cancer is where anyone wants to be. And then, again, there are a lot of charities, but I don't want to leave any out, but there are so many. So the third song, Back and Forth, was the Make-A-Wish Foundation. The fourth song, I Love to Love You Too, is the American Heart Association. The fifth song, I'd Give Anything, is St. Jude. So there, there are a lot of very reputable charities, from the American Red Cross to some that are a little more personal and hit home, you know, close to home. So, and I'm very open to charities. So I have fans and other types of, you know, personalities that send me suggestions. So since I do want to do this forever, if there's any charity you or your listeners can recommend, I'd be very happy to dedicate a song on the second CD, third CD to it. So I'm open.
Okay, wonderful. And during our third segment, we're going to share your website information and share with our listeners how they can contact Sorantos. Now, share with us a little bit about your career. Have you ever performed live? How did it feel? Were you terrified?
You know what? I actually was not. And my first live performance with this band was at Toronto Music Festival. And it was great. See, it was not, you know, a concert in front of, like, you know, 100,000 people, which I would love to do. So if anyone out there would like me to perform to a huge crowd, I'd be willing to do it. And it was great. I was not nervous at all. It was something I feel like I waited for my entire life. And I was very, I've given a lot of talks and public speaking, and I'm usually very good at that. But sometimes I have been occasionally nervous, but for the concert, I was not nervous at all, and I just really feel like I was just born to do it, and it was it was great, and I can't wait to do it again.
And there's some,
yeah, there's some things I'm working on. I did, so there was a contest called Rock Revival on Facebook that I won the fan vote, and I'm waiting to see if they're going to invite me to perform at the House of Blues, and there's some different contests and things I'm kind of getting into, so hopefully I can perform soon.
Share with us what it was like to put a band together. Did you have auditions? How many people are in your band, and how did that come about?
You know, as a solo music artist, to be quite frank, that is definitely the hardest part. And the reason for that is, you know, when I create my music, most of the time I start it on a computer, you know, with a program like Logic, and all the lyrics I write. And as it comes together, then I will hire out, you know, a great guitarist to record live the guitar part, and then I kind of put it back together and mix it. And so for a band, you know, it was a great big challenge because, to be honest, again, 2 weeks before the Toronto Music Festival, for the people that follow me on social media, the band I had pulled out. So here I was 2 weeks before the Toronto Music Festival, and the band that had been working with me for a month, and the music director had everything set, and I kept saying, when are we going to practice? When are we going to practice? They bailed on me. So here I was 2 weeks before, and I had no band. And obviously, I didn't want to pull out of that venue. So I did put different things out on social media and basically got the word out that I'm looking for a band. And I was lucky enough to find a band that is together that doesn't have a singer. They're kind of a jazz band. And basically, we kind of put together the show, and it was great. since then, I have kind of done auditions, and I'm still kind of in the process, but I am trying to finalize, hopefully this month, the full band. And hopefully they'll stay with me. And, you know,
forever,
I understand
never.
They have other – well, you can't tell, because if they're not vested in your music, you know, they don't get – they don't own the music. You're basically just paying them for each gig they perform and for even rehearsals. So it's it does make it challenging until you make it big. So.
Well, you know – we're going to hear another song, and it's called I Love to Love You with Sorantos right now.
Yeah. was my mistake. Why so many times, over and over again? I don't remember. In my head, it's still in my head, my head. When we get back on the dance floor, moving and grooving, you got me wanting more.
You've been listening to the powerful, passionate Sorantos. Now we're going to take a break and hear from our passionate sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Well, I'm not whining today because we have a wonderful guest visiting with us today, Sorantos. Sorantos, could you share a little bit about your website and how people can contact you, and also share with us your plans for the first Tuesday of every month and thereon?
Absolutely. So the website is melogia.com, which is www.melogia.com. And in Greek, it means with words, so that's why I chose that. Mm-hmm. And my name is spelled Sorantos, S-A-R-A-N-T-O-S. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube. If you just do a Google search or Yahoo search for Sorantos, I'll pop up number one. And I'd love for the fans to interact with me. I take care of all the social media myself, so anyone who puts a comment on a video on YouTube or messages me on Facebook, I respond back myself, and I love doing it. So I look forward to any interaction with the fans.
Okay, and now share with us about releasing a new song on the first Tuesday of every month, and tell us what the other Tuesdays are going to look like for us.
Sure. So what I wanted to do, you know, I thought of a traditional model, and what most artists do, or rock bands, is they release a CD every 3 years, they promote it, you hear about them, and then they kind of drop off the face of the earth for a couple of years. And I didn't want to do that. So what I wanted to do is I wanted every week to interact with the fans. So I think my fans already know that every first Tuesday of the month, they're going to get a brand new song. The second Tuesday of the month, they're going to get a brand new music video. The third Tuesday of the month, they're going to get a funny video of the month, which is usually just, I have fans send me all sorts of crazy videos, and I kind of pick the best one and, you know, make it the winner. And there's a nominal prize and a free download and CD and some perks for them. And the fourth one is a whiteboard video that I kind of made and put on YouTube. And there's also going to be a surprise in a couple months. I'm going to start something that is very unique that I guess your listeners will be the first to hear about. It's going to be actually every month I'm going to release a chapter, which is about 20 pages of a fiction fantasy book that I'm putting together. And it's going to be related to each song. So I know I'm a little bit behind, starting 7 months behind, but I'll catch up by the end of the year. And then starting next year, every month you're going to get this. And it's very unique and cool, and I don't know of any musician or writer who's ever done anything like it. And I really think hopefully the fans will look forward to that also.
It sounds amazing. My question is, do you ever sleep?
Not really. You know,
not really.
You said earlier, when you're not – when you don't consider it work, I mean, you know, if I stay up till midnight or 1 and get up at 5 in the morning, I just love doing it. And the hardest thing is just, I guess, when you're not doing it for the money, sometimes you almost feel like you have to convince people of that because when you talk to people, they're like, yeah, sure, you're not. But the truth is, I'm not. I really haven't made almost anything from this. I've put in a lot more than I've made, but yet I still want to do it forever. So hopefully that kind of resonates at some point with people.
Well, I think you and I are probably both in the same corner when it comes to money and our careers.
That's okay. If you love doing it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. At this point, I don't need to do it for money, but don't tell my sponsors that. And you know what? I'm going to send you. I'm going to definitely send you a funny video because I use it in all my promotions, and it's a video of the talking dog, Zoe, speaking of January Jones. So that'll give you a laugh. That'll give you a laugh for sure.
Okay, now, absolutely.
What tips do you have for independent artists, people who want to do what you're doing?
You know, I get asked that a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. And the biggest piece of advice I can give them, and it sounds so simple, but don't quit your day job. And it's not trying to be negative or pessimistic. It's just trying to be realistic. And, you know, I think you can definitely put your music out there. You can make videos. You can do everything your heart desires. But, you know, me personally, you know, I didn't move to L.A., abandon all my friends, and just kind of think, okay, I'm going to make it. So I kept my day job. I kept working. I do it on the side. It doesn't really affect my, you know, my life where people are like, hey, you know, he didn't show up to this, you know, particular event because he's always doing that. I mean, certainly you'll miss some things, but I think, again, you can pursue your dream and your passion, but, you know, you just got to be realistic. And I'm certainly not trying to discourage anybody. I just don't want people to feel like they wasted 5 years of their life touring all over the United States, playing at bars for like three people, and then they're miserable. You know, but go for it. My second piece of advice is absolutely positively, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you're trying to be, whether it's a musician, an actor, whatever it is, go for it. And, you know, some people will never understand a creative person's mindset and why they, because it's, you're really being vulnerable when you're speaking in public, singing in public, acting in public. And people sometimes don't understand that. And some people will never take that kind of chance, but you only live once. And I think you should definitely go for it. It doesn't matter how talented you think you are, you don't think you are, you got to give it a shot. You don't want to have regrets.
Oh, I agree with you completely, and especially in today's age with the technology that we have available. I always tell authors, you know, I wrote my first book when I was 50 years old, never thought I'd be able to write a book, and now it's getting easier and easier with the internet, and I'm sure it's the same thing for music. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. And, you know, the other thing I kind of was shocked when I heard this, which I'm not sure if you know, but 33% of all the songs on iTunes last year have been bought less than one time. And then I think it was on Spotify, 4 million songs on Spotify have never been heard, not even once. So, you know, people just need to understand that just because you get your music on iTunes, you know, you would think at least the artist would buy it. So if a third of the songs have been bought less than once, you know, sometimes people think, okay, it's out there and I'm just going to get discovered. That's not true. You know, viral videos, it takes work and effort, and it might not catch on for years after you release it, but you got to just keep working at it.
And, you know, that's exactly the same thing. I have so many authors who come on, and we talk about that a lot. Just because you have a publisher doesn't mean you have a bestseller. If you don't get out there and market it, nothing will happen. And what about the social networks, Facebook and Twitter, and how do you think they've affected your industry?
I guess I'm very thankful for them because, you know, first when they start with MySpace and that kind of fell off, and now Twitter and Facebook, and the advantage for someone like me who's not with a big label, who's unsigned, is that it's really hard to compete with the labels. They put millions of dollars into marketing their artists, and marketing works. How many times have we heard a song and we're like, eh, that's not that great, but after you hear it 100 times, it grows on you. And the truth is, social media at least enables you to, if someone likes your post, if you post, you know, when I post, again, I do it all myself, I try to be real. I don't, when I get on an interview or on Facebook or Twitter, it's not me saying, oh, here's my persona and my hair looks like this and my style. I'm real. I say what's on my mind. Obviously, I avoid politics and religion.
I really,
you know, I'm not scared to put a funny picture on there or to, if I read an article in USA Today, I'm not, you know, I have no problem saying, wow, that's, you know, again, I'm not slandering anyone. I'm not, like, insulting anyone. I'm very, you know, but the truth is they're finding out about me, where if they meet me on the street and they talk to me, they will actually know my sarcastic personality from the videos and from the social media. So that's the advantage. Now, the disadvantage, I think, nowadays, the trend is kind of reversing where really it's marketing, and you really need to put a bunch of money into it. So I think the playing field is not where it used to be, and I fear for that because now, you know, if you want to pay, you can have millions of YouTube views and millions of followers, but and it's sad to see that, but like any industry, you kind of knew that was going to happen.
Certain, you could see it coming. You see it in the book industry too, publishing. What excites you most right now about what you're doing with this new career you're creating?
I think the thing that excites me the most is that I can do whatever I want. And I mean that very simply in that, you know, if I want to experiment and say, okay, you know, I just released a rap hip-hop song, I could. I don't have a label say, no, you should stick to soft rock and pop music because that's your genre and that's your sound. I can experiment. I can experiment vocally. You know, we talked about I want to stay in constant touch with the fans, but I also really don't want the fans to get bored of me. So if you listen to some of the songs, if you listen to how I sing them, you know, one song is more high-pitched, one is more low, one is kind of depressing, one is somber. So I try to vary my singing style as well as the music itself because at the end of the day, I'm not foolish enough to think that people are going to love every single song I put out there. But if I can have 0.1% of the world, you know, like my style and my music, well, I'm going to be a superstar. And I can raise a lot of money for charity and hopefully do a lot of good in the world.
Oh, yeah. I love your message. It's very mystical and spiritual. Now, what do you get discouraged about? You know, because is there any way to track the return on this big investment you're making?
No, there really isn't. And that probably is the most discouraging thing because, mm-hmm. you know, people that are in the business world are just so many different industries. If you want to spend $100 advertising on a different venue, whether it's Google AdWords or the Yellow Pages or something, you can track your return on investment. You can say, wow, I had, you know, 200 people buy my song. In the music industry, the most frustrating part for me as I've, you know, gotten into it and continue to grow with it is for a small artist like me, you really don't know who to trust. And the labels, on the one hand, sometimes can get a bad reputation because the artists think they take all their money and they tell them what mm-hmm. to do and they don't let them be creative. But on the flip side, you're kind of in limbo and you're trying to figure out, okay, if I have $200 a month, what am I going to put it into? And you really don't know because you can't track anything. iTunes is not going to tell you how many people bought your song. They're not going to let you track that. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, a lot of people take advantage of a lot of artists out there and they tell them, you know, I'll get you promotion, I'll do this, that, and you really don't know if it was ever effective.
Oh, yeah. That is very discouraging. And I think we love the Internet, but there are certain problems that we all face with it. You know, right now we're going to hear another song from Sorrentos, Back and Forth.
Try hard to find questions, but my heart won't let me think.
We've been listening to the eclectic, energizing, and exciting Sorantos. Right now, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
Welcome back, and I hope all of you will become socially fit. We're with Sorantos. We have just 2 more minutes left of our show. It's been wonderful having you on the show. Last night, we had Sherry Payne, former lead singer with the Supremes. She signed with a label at 24 and regretted it. What are your thoughts about signing with a label?
You know, at this point, I don't think it's for me. And again, I'm not trying to say that I might not find a fit with one in a few years, but I think the key thing would have to be that I could still donate money to charity, and I wouldn't really want them to take that away from me.
Right.
You know, obviously the advantage would be that they could put you on a bigger stage and market you, which ultimately you could probably raise a lot more money for charity that way. But, you know, on the flip side, I also want to be able to be creative. You know, I know eventually they'll tell me to hire some marketing agency to take care of all the social media and interact with the fans and tell you what to wear and what to sing. So I would really not want to do that. And I'm hoping that, you know, if I ever do that, hopefully I'll have gotten big enough before that where I can have the flexibility and, you know, the fans that support me, that they will enable me to do whatever I want.
Well, I'm hoping that you will come back on our show again, and I would love to share your music with our listeners. I'm sure we will get a wonderful response to this show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Anytime.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed the show today. Hasn't this been wonderful? It's been a little different and very, very exciting. This is a show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then have some wine, cheese, crackers, and start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Sorantos. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra,
If you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.